Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It's
BT, it's out back on The Fan. BT is off. Time to hit you with the crown topic of the day. Started the show a couple hours ago talking about the need to go all in. The report when we last left you on Friday was that the Mets were going for it, according to a rival exec or GM around baseball, whatever it was, the report that Andy Martino had. And since then, they added Stanek in the bullpen, and whatever he is, you know, again, he got lit up yesterday, but he's at least a proven arm and a major league arm in their bullpen. Fine, but they need big moves. Surely both these teams, the Mets and Yankees, while they've made nice additions, the Mets with Maton and Stanek and Winker and the Yankees with Jazz Chisholm, the both teams are just scratching the surface here as far as what they need to take advantage of opportunities that are right there in front of them. The Yankees all of a sudden have found their stick over the last few games in Fenway. They're starting to hit now. The lineup looks a lot different, and they certainly need a bullpen arm to help out. Could potentially use a starter as well. I'm sure they're looking at different ways to help the ball club, but the idea that the prices are steep, and that's the report, like those are the reports today. Ooh, prices are crazy. A lot of teams have the same. Yeah, well, that's what happens when you got every team that, you know, with baseball expanding the postseason, every team is basically in it, and all the teams need the same thing. Pitching. Starting pitching, bullpen arms. What do you think is going to happen? Supply and demand. Teams have need. Prices go up. So do you have what it takes or not? The Mets and Yankees both need to go for it for different reasons, but the same principle being that they each have an opportunity right there in front of them to make this season something special. The Mets, by exceeding all expectations and maybe not putting a ceiling on what they could do based off of what happened with the Phillies and the Diamondbacks the last 2 years, the Yankees trying to fulfill expectations of being a World Series team, a World Series winning team for the first time since 2009. Will they have the stomach for what it's going to cost to upgrade their team significantly to the point where the Yankees could put the finishing touches on a World Series roster and the Mets can put together a team that you could take legitimately as being a World Series contender? For me, for the Mets specifically, if they don't come away with Skubal, Snell, or Flaherty, the top three starters on the market, if they don't come away with one of those three guys, it would be extremely disappointing. And not only do they need that, they need a legitimate bullpen arm. Like Maton is fine, Stanek could be fine, who knows, again, nice addition, but they need more. They need, I don't care if it's a package deal, I don't care how they get it done. Taking on money, trading some prospects, you don't have to give up everybody in the farm, but giving up a prospect or two is not going to kill you. It's going to help you this year. It's on Stearns and Cashman to identify which guys they will, you know, be willing to part with and to who they think would be the difference makers that they could acquire. But now's the time to go for it. The Yankees, it seems, is always the time to go for it. And with the Mets, now is the time. They're five games over 500, even with just losing a couple of games against Atlanta and splitting that series. Disappointing, sure. But ultimately, the Mets are right where they need to be. There's no reason that they shouldn't go all in. And if they don't, then those aren't king-like moves. You know, I call him King Cohen. Well, a king would go for it when he sees the opportunity. Succeed or fail, win or lose, the results may vary. But all you could ask for is that each team goes for it. Next year, nothing's ever promised tomorrow or today. Next year, who knows what the hell could happen next year? You could have all the plans laid out, map it out. Well, this year, this guy's coming up, and this guy. Injuries happen, poor performances happen. You never know what's going to happen. What you do know is what the now is. And with the Mets, they have a team that is gelled. They're having fun. They have some chemistry. They have a very good offense. I know it's cooled off as of late, but overall, for the last 8 weeks, their offense has been one of the tops in Major League Baseball. They have a solid rotation, but it needs help, especially after the injury to Christian Scott. Senga, to me, has been a non-factor all year, so I'm not going to go nuts about that. Yet, sucks losing the potential of what Senga could have been and certainly what he showed Friday night. But he hasn't had an impact on the team all year, so what's the difference? The Mets have gotten to this point without him. They could certainly make the postseason without him. Would have been nice to have his potential there, but he's a non-factor in their season this year. But they, and to me, I said this before he even took the mound on Friday, they needed a starter anyway. So they shouldn't have caught the Mets by surprise that they're going to be in the market for a starting pitcher. They needed one anyway. And I think that's where the Yankees are going to look. Bullpen, certainly, and potentially another starter. Yankees don't need a top-end starter. Obviously, they have Gerrit Cole and the potential of Carlos Rodon. But they do need a starter. Maybe settle things down in that rotation. Maybe somebody who could be consistent. To right now, they don't really have that. Stroman's supposed to be that guy, but I still wouldn't trust him in a big spot. You saw that Friday night, even after giving multiple leads, he kept giving them back. But we're talking about postseason, projecting moving forward in the postseason. How could the Yankees upgrade their team? They may think the lineup is set now with Stanton coming back, with the addition of Jazz, with the possibility of Dominguez returning. Maybe they fix whatever issues. You know, Glaber's gotten going. Verdugo's gotten going. Austin Wells been impactful. Now they got to look to upgrade that rotation and certainly the bullpen. And with the Mets, their lineup is what it is. They needed a lefty bat to upgrade over DJ Stewart. They did that with Winker. Now they need to go get a top starting pitcher if they want to be taken seriously. If you want to just make the playoffs and roll the dice, sure. I mean, they still could be a playoff team without any additions, I think. The Mets don't make any more moves. They still should be a playoff team, maybe the third playoff team, but they still should be a playoff team. If they want to be taken seriously, they're going to have to go big game hunting. That's what this is about. That's what this town is about. That's what this time is about. Last year wasn't the opportunity for the Mets. They took advantage of, you know what, took an opportunity to sell and bring in prospects. Well, now you can, in turn, trade some of those prospects to go for it. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Peter is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Peter?
What's up? I have a great idea for Glaber.
Yeah?
I say we don't trade him. I say we throw him on the bench. Even if he bats 400, he's a girl. All he does is complain. He said last night, I don't want to play third base. I don't like it. I think if the Yankees told him to catch, he should catch. He's a professional. There shouldn't be any ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's not in any position to say, oh, I don't want to play that position. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I agree with that part of it, Peter, and thank you for the call that he should have said. I said this earlier in the show. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. If he didn't really want to play third base, that's fine. Just say, look, my primary position, I feel more comfortable at second, but if the team wanted me and needed me at third base, I'd be open to it. Clearly he's not, and clearly they wouldn't, knowing how he is, and I thought it was a selfish display by Torres, where as Jazz Chisholm comes in, his first day there, he's like, hey, whatever the team needs, I told him I'm good with. He hasn't played third base in his life, but or at least in the big leagues, and he's like, whatever the team needs, I'm fine. That should be the attitude. So you're right. If the manager says we need you to catch, you better suit up and get the catcher's gear. Not that they would do that, but that should be the attitude. Now, the problem is if the Yankees do bench him, like they'd be better off trading him because you get something back. If they bench him, what are you going to do? You can't look at DJ LeMahieu anymore. You're going to bench him. You're going to bench Glaber, who now all of a sudden has gotten hot with the bat. You're going to move Jazz to second and have LeMahieu still at third base. They're not going to do that. So I don't know if Glaber needs to be punished for his comments, but the comments that he made about not wanting to play third base potentially, they should show you where he's at. And I would look to trade Glaber. I would have looked to trade him a couple of years ago. I would look to trade him now. They may not be getting anything worthy back for Glaber Torres at this particular moment. So you hold on to him, you ride it out, and then he walks at the end of the year. His potential with the bat, you're seeing it right now, at least for a few games here. His potential with the bat is probably, in the Yankees' mind at least, going to be worth more than anything that they could trade him for. Although if some, like you're not, he's not going to be involved in a trade with the Marlins. Nobody wants, like, it'd have to be a team that is looking for offensive potential at second base as a rental. So really, what are you getting back for that? Not much. Al is in Queens. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's up, Sal? How you doing, pal?
Good, Al. How are you?
Good, good. So here's the thing. I'm a Yankee. Mm-hmm. So I love you. I love you, Larry. But you call me the Steve Bartman of Mets fans. But the thing about Steve Bartman is, at least the Marlins fans loved him. Since you went on this whole Mets are going to win the wild card thing, fingers out, they lost 2 out of 3. Frank the Tank has gone crazy on you. The Yankees have won their series. Are you prepared for the future? God forbid the Mets go on the downfall.
Yeah, I mean, again, Alan, thank you for the call. We could have fun with it, but it has no impact on me. I mean, I don't know what more you want me to tell you. You need help if you think that I have anything to do. I wish I had that power. How about this? I'll leave it open to you guys. For those of you who think I have the power of the jinx, the mush, whatever it may be. By the way, just to clarify, I did tweet before the Yankee game last night the Yankees were going to win. Because if you're watching this team, you could see it's been different since Friday night. Even though they lost Friday night, you could see it's been different. Even though they almost lost Saturday, it just feels different. It is different. So if I tweeted before the game the Yankees are going to win tonight and the Yankees went out there and stomped the Red Sox, how exactly does that work? So is this just convenient in your mind to blame things on me when they go wrong when you want because of 2022? So am I supposed to believe that I have more fault in the Mets losing the division in 2022 than, I don't know, the Braves being great or the Mets not being good enough? Are you going to blame me more than Scherzer, DeGrom, Bassett at the time? And then this was a joke. This was like, did you really think I thought the Mets were going to? Now, I do think the Mets are going to finish ahead of the Braves in the wild card spot, but at the time of the tweet, at the time I said that on Friday, they were still behind. Like, come on, it's an obvious joke. It's not my point. You guys can't get it. That's not my fault. You take it too seriously. Relax. Relax. But here's what I'm going to do, because I'm a good guy and because I like you. For those of you who think I have this power, the power of the jinx, what I say, what I tweet, holds bearing on what teams actually do. Tell me how you want me to put this power to use. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to tweet next? What can we do here with these superpowers that I possess? Can I reverse jinx the Mets now? I mean, the same people that give Grimace credit for the Mets winning are blaming me for the Mets losing. I mean, Doug is calling from Stratford, Connecticut. What's up, Doug?
Hey, Sal. How you doing? Love the passion.
Thank you, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. So, I hate to say this, but I think we turned into a pumpkin. With the injuries to Sengun.
Hear me out, brother.
With the injuries to Sengun, Nunes, and Scott, left a lot of holes to be truly competitive this year. So, I think we should punt. And it pains me because I'm an old dude and I don't know how many more years I got left. Let's see what we get for these players that don't fit long term. I mean, don't give them up for nothing. You got to get a good return. Cervino would be very coveted. Martinez would be coveted. They're both free agents. Put Alonso on there. And if somebody wants to give a King's ransom, hey, let's take the King's ransom. Then next year we start off, we refresh, we go out, we get Soto. We got Mauricio coming, Ventos, we got Alvarez, we got a young stud, and we're ready to go for a decade.
Right, but you don't know, Doug. I understand the thought process, and thank you for the call. In theory, if the Mets were 5 games under, yes, then I could understand that. The fact that they're 5 games over, you cannot punt on that type of season. I mean, what are we doing here? Why all of a sudden, why did Mets fans feel like they've turned into a pumpkin again? It just shows you don't really believe in this team, period. If that's how you feel after 2 games. They didn't lose 3 out of 4. They didn't get swept by the Braves. They split. All right, was it a hard way to split, winning the first 2? Sure, but that happens. It happens all the time. You didn't feel this way after the Mets split with the Marlins or split with the Nationals, but yet they split with the Braves, who are better than both those teams, and it's, oh, God, here we go, back to being the pumpkin again. No. Now, look, I mean, who knows what's going to happen the rest of the way? Nobody does. But the Mets have played like one of the better teams in baseball for a 2-month stretch. You're willing to give up on that for an unknown in the future? That doesn't make sense. Anthony is in East Brunswick. What's up, Ann?
Sal, why are you so calm today?
What do you mean?
I don't know. You're like, these guys are trolling you, and you're like, not flying off the handle. Is this a new you that we should be expecting? Or
no, I fly off the handle with what? I mean, there's nothing to fly off the handle for. I can't take anybody seriously who really thinks that my tweet or what I say has an impact on the team.
I mean, I agree with you there. That's why I'm surprised you're not flipping out. But
give me another hour or so. If I have to deal with these calls for another hour and a half, yeah, it might be a different story.
I'll be listening, man. But so for me, and I might be in the big minority here, but I haven't been happy that the Mets have been good. I don't know. I wanted them to clean house. And I have friends that are laughing at me because they're like, you're getting good baseball. Like, what do you want? They're really good. But, I mean, I don't believe in this team at all. I don't know. I wanted them to get literally be awful and then just totally clean house and start fresh. Because I don't see this. Where is this really going?
Right.
Unless I'm totally wrong. I mean, what really, you think this team is like, is that where we're at?
We
make a second wild card and everyone should be happy. I mean, I don't know. I expected the Steve Cohen years, and I know it takes time. I know what he's trying to do, but that's why I wanted this team not to work out. And I called you in the beginning of the year when you were getting up. I'm like, this team's awful. And I seem to be kind of wrong, but maybe that was wishful thinking. I don't know. I want them to get rid of everybody.
I know understand. That's not gonna happen. It's not bothering them. Let's talk this out for a second, though, Anthony, because I understand where you're coming from. I, too, was there. However, you're doing yourself a disservice as a fan if you're not trying to enjoy this season. Let the offseason, let next year happen in the offseason or next year. Right now, it doesn't matter. You should be enjoying what's in front of you, a team that is making a push for the postseason. They're 500. I don't believe in Alonzo long-term. I don't believe in McNeil long-term. They have some issues. We don't know about these young guys, how they're going to pan out, but they need to figure that out in the offseason. For now, it's working. So why wouldn't you want to just enjoy what's going on now and try to make a run at it and get in the postseason and see what could happen? What good is breaking this thing up going to do right now?
Well, yeah, I'm miserable. That's why. But just you know, well, there you go. You said all season stuff, but like, let's look at this like a stock, right? You're supposed to trade and sell your stock when everything's high. You couldn't get anything for a lot of these guys, and now you can get something for a few of them where you couldn't get anything. So that's my only problem. I am looking longer term. I wasn't expecting anything out of them. But for me, it's like, just get stuff. Sal, I'm telling you what's going to happen in the offseason. You're not going to get anything for anybody, and I'm going to call you back, and I'm not going to, you know, get on you, but I'm going to say, see?
Yeah.
You should have got rid of them when it was high.
But it could happen, and thank you for the call, Anthony. It could happen after they make a run of the postseason. You got to enjoy. Look, this is sports. If you're not enjoying when your team is having success in sports, I don't care to what level, then we're not doing it right as sports fans. Let them worry about how to build the team out. Let the offseason play itself out. For now, you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't get behind this Mets team. Speaking of mushes.
Yeah, that's a bad intro. You're the mush. You're the guy.
Mets fans for Yankees.
You're the guy.
Can you believe this?
It always goes against what you want and say and rant and rave about.
That's not
Stop
true.
It.
It's not true.
Now,
Greg,
you're fighting with Frank the Tank.
Oh,
what's
he's fighting
going
with me.
On?
So let me ask you. What should I use these powers for? Because apparently I have some kind of...
Girls!
You're all married, Craigie. He'd be in trouble there.
Girls! I don't know. The lottery? Something?
Come on.
Look at you. You are now... You've brought up the ire of a diehard Met fan, and you're a diehard Met fan.
I just don't get it.
You guys can't help yourselves.
It was a joke.
In fighting.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Crazy.
I'm one of you. What are you coming at me for, you knuckleheads? Come on!
Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not viewed as one of them. Maybe take stock of where you're at in life.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe all the weight loss is guaranteed.
Yeah. Maybe I do a little bit more. How have you been?
I'm doing great. You may have heard I might be on the radio again coming up in a little bit.
I did hear that. Congratulations. When is that? That's next week, right?
No. August 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Okay, 9th.
I'll be doing play-by-play, the voice of the Yankees, as they call me now, with Susan Wallman, Yankees-Rangers. A little 3-game set.
Have you talked to Susan yet?
We've spoken, yes.
Like sat down, spoken on the phone?
I'll be going there prior to the 9th to say hi in person, but we have spoken.
And how'd that go?
Great. Very cordial. And it's going to be awesome. I'm pumped for it.
I'm fascinated by this dynamic.
Yeah, everybody is.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, just because Al Dukes got mad at those guys for not asking about it doesn't mean you have to be aggressive about it.
I'm not aggressive. It's the number one thing that I think was on my mind. Like, from Susan's perspective, I know for you it's
we're
not going to be a problem.
Professionals.
Well,
we're going to be
Susan
great.
Is.
That's a fair point.
Is this a dream for you?
It's a very good question. There was a point in my life, early in my career, even going back to college, where, you know, like a lot of young guys that want to go into sports, broadcasting of some kind, where you, and this is also, I'm old enough to be like pre, you know, sports talk radio.
Right.
As the thing that's on in every market where you have opportunity in every market. So I did a bunch of play-by-play. high school play-by-play, college.
You've been to Syracuse? Okay.
Like, I was the voice of the University of Buffalo basketball team way back in 1991, 92. So I've done a bunch of play-by-play. To say that I would ever, you know, have an opportunity to do a Yankee game, no way. That was never on the bingo card.
It is weird, right? Like, I grew up, I'm a little bit younger than you, but I remember wanting to be, like, in my high school book, it was wanting to be the voice of the Mets, Knicks, and I want to be the next Marv Albert. I loved Marv. And then I discovered Mike and Chris, and I fell in love with that, and I'd rather do that.
Sure.
But to call a game, they're home, I'm assuming, right? Yankee Stadium?
Yankees Rangers at Yankee Stadium.
At Yankee Stadium.
It's crazy. Because if you look at, this is the way I view it. If you go pre-John starting to slow down, So guys like Brendan Burke obviously had a couple games, and, you know, Emmanuel does a great job, and Justin, they do a great job. Prior to that, I think the number, you guys could correct me, Dove, you especially, I think there's only five people over the last 100 years who called Yankee games. It's Mel Allen.
Right.
It's Red Barber. It's John Sterling. Michael Kay did some radio as well.
Right.
And I think Charlie Steiner did a year.
Right.
Period. Stop. So it's the Yankees, right? This is like the Yankees.
Yeah.
So the fact that I could join a list of those guys, not to mention the really competent broadcasters who've now done it since John started slowing down and has since retired, like, you don't say no to that.
Right. No, it's
because
great.
Whatever anyone wants to say about me, you can say it. It's all been said already. I'm going to do something that everyone dreamt of doing. Every Yankee fan, you know, the great call, and I get a chance to do it. So it's a great opportunity, and I'm going to treat it with, you know, the love it should be treated with, because at the end of the day, Yankees baseball means a lot to a lot of people. So I'm not going to go in there. I'm not the story. I'll do it competently, professionally. I'll do my style.
Right.
But it's going to be great.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You're obviously a great talk show host, and your personality is your strength. So how do you interject your personality in a professional Yankee broadcast we're trying to deliver play-by-play
on
the radio?
I view baseball play-by-play as two things in one. There's the action. There's not a lot of it.
Right.
As compared to basketball, hockey, et cetera, right? Everything in between is like doing a talk show. So I'm really competent at doing a talk show. We're going to find out.
With a co-host.
Yeah, and I have a co-host who also has talk radio chops.
Right.
You know, the first voice ever heard on The Fan. And I think, I hope, we'll have fun together going back and forth.
Is it awkward for you at all being the one, like for Susan, whatever, she's been there. And you were the one who was, you know, having fun at her expense over the years.
For sure.
So was it awkward for you to have to be like, hey, I get that it's radio and it's, you know, we're entertaining here.
No, because we talked a couple weeks ago, and it was very honest on both sides. Like, I wouldn't take back what I did, you know, for 10 years with Boomer in the morning. And if I said I would, I'd be lying, because I thought it was entertaining. I did what I thought was the most entertaining style of talk show you could do. And she had every right to be upset with that, because it's hurtful.
Right.
I've also had a huge gulp of humble pie, self-inflicted, of course.
Right.
Where, while I can't take it back, I don't apologize for what I did, because I would have done it again. At the same time, I'm sensitive to the fact that your words can hurt also. So look, she's a pro, and that's the agreement we have. She's going to be a pro. I'm going to be a pro. Hopefully, we'll have a good time together going back and forth, and I don't mess up any significant call in the game.
Oh.
Because if I do.
I hope you do.
I know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. We'll be playing that back. Last one from me on your career. How's the Fox show going, and have you hired Michelle Beadle yet?
Fox show's going great. It's been great. It's going to continue to be great. Not sure that other thing you just referenced.
I saw the review. I'm just going based off of the news. I don't know. Like, I read, Beadle may be joining Craigie.
It's all good. Things are good there. And I would say one other thing. This is going to sound a little egotistical. I really don't mean it to be. I know there's writers that don't like me because the brand of radio I've done and the type of TV possibly I do. But what if I positioned the story this way? All right? Because I think it was Phil Mushnick in the Post said, shameful that the Yankees would have me on. Okay, like, anyone's ever read your column in the last 10 years.
Aside from us.
We read because it's about us, right? And it's all...
I mean, exactly, right.
If it's not Race writing about you, you don't read it. Hey, Craig, someone wrote about you. Let me read it right away.
Exactly, right.
And I'll be that guy who tells you, if it's written about me, I read it. 100%, right. Good or bad, right? What if the story was presented this way? New York State Broadcasting Hall of Famer, who's had the largest audience in mornings and afternoons in the history of the format, in the same market that the New York Yankees play, is going to do three games with the hope that that same audience that made him number one in mornings and number one in afternoons will listen to him doing play-by-play. Is that a different story?
You're right. That did sound egotistical.
Totally egotistical. But it's, but, not, it's never positioned that way. Damn it.
I get it. I'm happy for you.
It's going to be fun. It's a great opportunity. I'm not sure if there's going to be a fourth game, but I know I'm doing three.
Do you want to do that? Like, would you want to do more of that? A lot of this business now, a lot of people do multiple things. Would that be something that you want to work into your career?
Depends how many zeros are on that check.
Well, I
mean, and then we can have a conversation.
The way things going, probably not a lot, right? I mean,
maybe not.
There's a reason you left here.
Look, I'm really happy doing what I'm doing at Fox every day. But like you said, people also multitask. Like I did the radio show and TV for a year, so I'm capable of doing it. It'd be interesting.
Okay.
Thus far, it has not been offered. So let's just start with one weekend series against the Rangers, who, by the way, under 500.
Right.
I've been watching.
Has not been offered yet. Like Stugatz and the PD thing.
Come on. What's that?
Oh, Stugatz is doing morning drive.
Yeah, I heard him fill in for Boom last week, right?
What'd you think?
Look, I've known John a long time because he used to reach out to me for radio advice when he was down, I think, in Tampa at the time, starting his career. And look, he built a nice career for himself. All good with Lebatard down there.
Seems though like he wants to, you know, be here.
Well, who doesn't want to be here? I'm the only guy that keeps leaving.
Well, but there was a good reason why you left.
Yes,
the second time.
The second time. First time, not so much. But we can laugh about those things now, can't we?
Anything else? Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that we can laugh about them now.
Yeah, I would just say this. The last thing I'd say is, of all the things I've done here, including what I'm about to do with the Yankees broadcast, the best thing I've still ever done is the Saturday morning show. Hello, my name is Craig. I'm now 6 years plus without wagering on anything in any way, shape, or form, which is like a minor miracle considering how much I was wagering back in the day. And the fact that I'm allowed to still do that show and the fan allows me to do that show, that's the most important content I've ever done. And the people that reach out who are moved by it or have their lives changed by it, I mean, if that's all I ever did, if I never did a Yankee game, if Fox said to me tomorrow, it's over, but I got to do that, I'd be in a really cool place career-wise because that show's the most important thing to me.
Yeah, and I've heard some of it, you know, here and there, driving around on the weekends. It is very, it's unique. Like, we don't have that.
Yeah.
This sports talk medium has always been picks and gambling.
Sure.
To hear that perspective from not only you, but obviously the guests that you have on, it is impactful.
Yeah, and the one thing I always say about it, just to go real quick, and I appreciate you allowing me to do it. You know, a lot of people ask me about, you know, my gambling background, blackjack and sports and all that stuff. And to be true to it, like I always tell people, I look back on it. Listen, it cost me everything. It drove me down a bad road. Again, I have no one to blame but myself, all self-inflicted. But when I tell my story about gambling, there are still moments of those days that were awesome. Like opportunities I was able to provide friends with, family with, through gambling. So while it's, you know, like the devil to me now, and I can speak to that, to be true to it, it wasn't 100% bad, and that took me a long time to get over because there were certain good things I experienced while I was gambling, whether it's wins or you know vacations or opportunities to do things and meet certain people. And the fact that I think I'm honest about that is why the show resonates. Like, gambling is bad for me. I can't do it. Doesn't mean you can't do it.
Yeah.
Or most people can't do it. I just got to a point where gambling was more important to me than anything else in my life, including the oxygen I breathe. So I think people hear that and they recognize the honesty of that, and that's why the show is successful.
Yeah, understood, and continued success.
Where's
with that.
Brandon at? Well,
yeah, I think he's auditioning.
We got pennant races. What are you doing?
He wants to be the next play-by-play guy of the Yankees.
Well, that job's taken.
Thank you, Craigie.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It is a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field double tickets to the Bronx Bombers against Texas
at Yankee Stadium on Friday, August 9th. Right now, I'll be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAM. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees Box Office Blitz and The Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. And that is it. Hoff, what read are you giving me here? Look at this thing. Hoff, when you do your overnight show, I'm going to come into the studio. I'm going to have somebody do it because I'm not staying up at those hours anymore. I'm going to have somebody bring in this exact copy to you in the middle of you doing your overnight show, and I want to see you read that. It's like you have it all grayed out, and then the read goes on. Like, if I were to continue reading, it says, Friday copy. It's a Jersey Mike's Yankee. Like, did you give me Friday's copy as well? Look at what you printed out here. Come on.
It's a new system, so I'm kind of getting used to it. Yeah.
All right.
And printer issues.
Yeah, printer issues, exactly. All right. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Fun to talk to Craigie for a little bit as he's got his Yankees broadcast coming up in a couple of weeks from now. And that'll be fun to listen to him and Susan doing some Yankee games, Yankees Rangers, especially with the Yankees now. You know, who knows what new additions the Yankees will have in that lineup. And Craig could have some special home run calls for it. Obviously, the Yankees and Mets here now counting down the hours to the trade deadline. Both teams need to make significant moves. So far, we've seen the appetizers, whether it's Jazz with the Yankees, Winker, Maton, Stanek with the Mets. Much, much more needed, specifically with the Mets. Yankees are going to rely a lot on getting Stanton back and then potentially Dominguez as far as the lineup goes, but the Yankees could certainly use some help in the bullpen or in the starting rotation. Mets need some help more desperately in the starting rotation and the bullpen. Scott is calling from Hamilton. What's up, Scotty?
What's up, Sal?
How are you, Scott?
Hey, Sal. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm going to add a little bit more fuel to the fire, but I know where this whole jinx thing started for you, boss.
Where's that?
I want to take you back to February 15th, 2017.
I don't recall.
Super Bowl.
Oh, the Falcons? 51.
Oh, we got this, baby. We're up 28-3.
Yeah.
It's in the bag.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's where it all started for you.
Well, I didn't say that.
You know,
I said somebody asked me, a guest, I don't know, it might have been my wife or my father, I forget, we were at my house watching the game, my parents' house, and they said, how are you feeling? And at halftime, I said, like a Super Bowl champion. That was it.
So, listen, you know, as of right now, to all Met fans, you're the jinx. Maybe the Ranger fans, too. I don't know.
I mean, come on. You know, fans are crazy, and I get it because I'm one of them, Scott, and thank you for the call. Fans are crazy because I'm one of them. I get it. Come on, what are we doing here? There's no such thing as a jinx, and if there is, I'm certainly not it. I mean, I rooted for the Knicks as well. Did I jinx them? Have I jinxed the Knicks over the last couple of years? Come on. Give me a break. Did I jinx the Yankees last night? Saying they would win that game? Come on now. Please. I get it. It's a fun story. For some reason, it makes some people happy being able to pin the blame on me. But, I mean, you got to get over it. Chris is calling from Port Jeff. What's up, Chris?
Dally, what up, baby?
What's up, Chris?
How are we doing?
How are you?
So I, what inspired this call was I got on, you know, I'm listening in the car, and I heard these loser Mets fans talking about selling the team and this and that and all this stuff, and I can't believe it. I don't know what is happening. They're falling in love with your tweet. I didn't even see the tweet, but they're calling you a mush and all this stuff. I don't even understand. This is the most exciting team that we've had since even before the 100 win season.
Yeah, I think they're better. That's a good point, Chris. This team is actually better. They definitely are better offensively. The difference in 2022 was that team had great top end pitching that obviously didn't do it, you know, down the stretch against the Braves or in the postseason against the Padres. But this team's lineup is much better, much deeper than the 101 win season.
We're two trades away from actually, you know, doing it. I think you're right. Scubo and Baez. Even if we take Baez's contract, that guy plays good in New York. I don't know if it's because Lindor
or
whatever the case may be, but I think he plays good here. And I think Scubo's a top end arm anywhere. So.
I would actually, and thank you for the call, Chris. I would cut Baez, or like pay him money to go elsewhere. Maybe spin him in the trade. Point is, I don't even know if Baez is the best bad contract example. But the point is, if you wanted Scooble and you go to the Tigers and you're willing to be able to get them out from under a bad contract like the Baez one, then why wouldn't they at least be willing to talk and maybe give up Beatty and maybe a top 10 prospect? I'm not sure exactly what it would take, but you can't tell me that that wouldn't be appealing, and you can't tell me that Scooble wouldn't be a difference maker for the Mets, not only now, but moving forward. He'd be a huge difference maker. You don't know. The Mets need pitching anyway. You don't know if any of these prospects are going to pan out, and the Mets are going to have to go buy pitching next season, next offseason. That's the move. Like, Snell sounds great, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. And Flaherty, fine. I mean, that's the guy that everybody's going to want. You know, walk year, maybe be more affordable, although even that price is going to be probably higher. Scooball's the move. That's the home run move. So much so that we don't even talk about it because it just seems unrealistic that the Mets would be willing to do that. That's a King Cohen-like move. Go get Scooball. Young pitcher, under control, top of the rotation guy. Get him. You'll replenish the farm. Don't worry about it. And you could do it without even having to, you know, wipe the farm out. Take on a bad contract. Just like you did last year. Just like Cohen did last year, paying guys to go away so he can essentially buy prospects. Well, what you'd be doing this year is, what you'd be doing this year at the trade deadline is buying a young, controllable lefty because you're taking bad contracts out. Now, look, Detroit may want more than that. I don't know. I'm not in these conversations. But there's got to be a way to do it. Dennis is calling from Randolph, New Jersey. What's up, Dennis?
Hello, Sal. Great job. Great show.
Thank you, Denny. How are you?
I'm a lifelong Brave fan, and I got a lot of Met fans in my posse. My brother-in-law's are Met fans. After the first two games, one of them's a lawyer, so you can only imagine how obnoxious he is. but, you know, Braves are gone, you know, see you later, ta-ta, Braves. But the Braves came in, they're decimated by injuries. They got 40% of their starting lineup out, 40% of their pitching staff out. Lopez lasts three innings. The Mets go 22 straight, consecutive scoreless innings. If the Braves didn't bring a double-A pitcher in the ninth inning, the Mets' scoreless streak would still be going on. If I'm a Mets fan, I am not happy. You played the Braves JV team. You had a 2-0 lead. And, of course, I don't hear anything from my brother-in-laws after the Mets dropped the last two.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's plenty of games to go, Dennis. So the Mets won the first two. The Braves won the last two. Braves right now have a game-and-a-half lead on them, and thank you for the call. Braves right now have a game and a half lead on them, and really the Padres closing in as well. So you get the Mets, Braves, Padres, Diamondbacks. Everybody's right there. Cardinals, you know, Pirates are even not too far back. Everybody's right there. But the Braves have been, look, you're, as a Braves fan, we can't allow the taking bows as a Braves fan when the Phillies have an 8.5 game lead on them for the division. This season was never supposed to be about the Mets in the NL East. This season was about the Braves and the Phillies. And so far, the Phillies have been the hammer, the Braves have been the nail. Maybe not head-to-head directly, but as far as the season has played out. Now, the Phillies have struggled a little bit as of late as well. Braves have been going backwards, and look, they saved an embarrassment. They didn't get swept, they didn't lose 3 out of 4 to the Mets. They didn't win the series, though. And they own just a game and a half lead over the Mets. A team who was supposed to be a non-factor this year. And now you're going to pound your chest because you salvaged the final two games of a four-game series? Doesn't work like that. Braves were held to higher expectations. I don't care what the reasons are. Braves have had a miserable season. And I still do think at the end of it, the Mets are going to surpass them in the wild card. But as long as they get a wild card spot, that's all that really matters. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Artie is in Rockland. What's up, Artie?
Hey, how are you, Sal? Thanks for taking my call. I nearly fell off my chair last night. I was watching the telecast. The first baseman was mic'd up of the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. Carl Ravitch was asking him about his mustache. He got a nice mustache.
Yeah, I saw. Would he have to shave it for the Yankees?
And then he says to him, would you go to the Yankees if they made you shave your mustache? Would you be? And the guy, he was sheepishly answered, I think the Yankees allow mustaches. What kind of what planet is Carl Ravitch living on?
Yeah.
Goose Gossage, Thurman Munson, Ron Gidgey, they've all had mustaches.
Don Mattingly, yeah.
Never had a problem.
Okay, and that's the least of Carl Ravitch's issues. Look,
there was another one. Yeah. There was another one. Then he said, well, we got Jazz Chisholm coming back, and we have an abundance of outfielders, and Giancarlo's coming back, who's primarily an outfielder. What year was Giancarlo last primarily an outfielder on the Yankees? He's not going to see the outfield ever, especially with his hamstring. What's wrong with Carl Ravitch?
He's not very good. And thanks for the call, Artie. Appreciate you checking in. I'm not trying to pick on Carl Ravitch. I grew up watching him. Ravi! But I don't like him as a play-by-play guy. And two games in this particular week of him is more than enough. I like the other guys. I think Perez and Coney are great. Ravitch as a play-by-play guy just doesn't do it for me at all on any level. and to have to watch him for the Subway Series. And look, a lot of these national broadcasters, they don't know the teams the way that we know them anyway, so it's almost unfair. And Ravitch didn't even know where he was going next weekend. He's doing the promo for the game. He's like, oh, coming up next week on Sunday Night Baseball, it's we go to St. Louis. Oh, no, wait, we're going to Chicago for the Cubs and Cardinals. So, look, I got my job to do. He's got his to do, so I'm not going to try to pick on him here, but I will agree with you that two games of Carl Ravitch in this week was too many. You know, we had to watch them with the Subway Series and then again with the Yankees and Red Sox last night on Sunday Night Baseball. I have not looked at the schedule as far as when the Mets or Yankees play again on Sunday Night Baseball, but we much prefer the local broadcast, specifically for the Mets. Like, it's just such a drop-off from going to the SNY broadcast to the national broadcast. And that was an odd one. I'm right there with you. He said some odd things that make you know he doesn't really know what's going on, but where'd he pull that one from? Oh, yeah, if you ever got traded to the Yankees, how would that work with your facial hair? He's like, no, I'm good, bro. I got a mustache. They're oh, yeah. I mean, look, it happens. We all make mistakes. Problem is, you know, you should be held to a higher standard when you're the play-by-play guy on Sunday Night Baseball. And it wasn't the only mistake, to your point. Joe is in Clark, New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Big Sal. What's up, buddy?
How are you, Joe?
I'm hanging in there, bro. You know, I agree. Look, I've waited so many years. The Mets have held on to guys. The Lastings, Millers of the world, the Alex Ochoas, you know, the Fernando Martinez, Generation K. Mm. You know, you don't know when you're going to be in a position like they are now. They're in a very good position. It's a rookie.
Thank you, Craigie.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It is a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets to the Bronx Bombers against Texas at Yankee Stadium on Friday, August 9th. Right now, I'll be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And the Fan, listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. And that is it. And Hoff, what read are you giving me here? Look at this thing. Hoff, when you do your overnight show, I'm going to come into the studio. I'm going to have somebody do it because I'm not staying up at those hours anymore. I'm going to have somebody bring in this exact copy to you in the middle of you doing your overnight show, and I want to see you read that. It's like you have it all grayed out, and then the read goes on. Like, if I were to continue reading, it says Friday copy. It's a Jersey Mike's Yankees. Like, did you give me Friday's copy as well? Look at what you printed out here. Come on.
It's a new system, so I'm kind of getting used to it. Yeah.
All right.
And printer issues.
Yeah, printer issues, exactly. All right. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Fun to talk to Craigie for a little bit as he's got his Yankees broadcast coming up in a couple of weeks from now. And that'll be fun to listen to him and Susan doing some Yankee games, Yankees Rangers, especially with the Yankees now. You know, who knows what new additions the Yankees will have in that lineup. And Craig could have some special home run calls for it. Obviously, the Yankees and Mets here now counting down the hours to the trade deadline. Both teams need to make significant moves. So far, we've seen the appetizers, whether it's Jazz with the Yankees, Winker, Maton, Stanek with the Mets. Much, much more needed, specifically with the Mets. Yankees are going to rely a lot on getting Stanton back and then potentially Dominguez as far as the lineup goes, but the Yankees could certainly use some help in the bullpen or in the starting rotation. Mets need some help more desperately in the starting rotation and the bullpen. Scott is calling from Hamilton. What's up, Scotty?
What's up, Sal?
How are you, Scott?
Hey, Sal. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm going to add a little bit more fuel to the fire, but I know where this whole jinx thing started for you, boss.
Where's that?
I want to take you back to February 15th, 2017.
I don't recall.
Super Bowl.
Oh, the Falcons? 51.
Oh, we got this, baby. We're up 28-3.
Yeah.
It's in the bag.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's where it all started for you.
Well, I didn't say that.
You know,
I said somebody asked me, a guest, I don't know, it might have been my wife or my father, I forget, we were at my house watching the game, my parents' house, and they said, how are you feeling? And at halftime, I said, like a Super Bowl champion. That was it.
So, listen, you know, as of right now, to all Mets fans, you're the jinx. Maybe the Ranger fans, too. I don't know.
I mean, come on. You know, fans are crazy, and I get it because I'm one of them, Scott, and thank you for the call. Fans are crazy because I'm one of them. I get it. Come on, what are we doing here? There's no such thing as a jinx, and if there is, I'm certainly not it. I mean, I rooted for the Knicks as well. Did I jinx them? Have I jinxed the Knicks over the last couple of years? Come on. Give me a break. Did I jinx the Yankees last night? Saying they would win that game? Come on now. Please. I get it. It's a fun story. For some reason, it makes some people happy being able to pin the blame on me. But, I mean, you got to get over it. Chris is calling from Port Jeff. What's up, Chris?
Dally, what up, baby?
What's up, Chris?
How are we doing?
How are you?
So I, what inspired this call was I got on, I'm listening in the car, and I heard these loser Mets fans talking about selling the team and this and that and all this stuff, and I can't believe it. I don't know what is happening. They're falling in love with your tweet. I didn't even see the tweet, but they're calling you a mush and all this stuff. I don't even understand. This is the most exciting team that we've had since even before the 100 win season.
Yeah, I think they're better. That's a good point, Chris. This team is actually better. They definitely are better offensively. The difference in 2022 was that team had great top end pitching that obviously didn't do it, down the stretch against the Braves or in the postseason against the Padres. But this team's lineup is much better, much deeper than the 101 win season.
We're two trades away from actually, doing it. I think you're right. Skubal and Baez. Even if we take Baez's contract, that guy plays good in New York. I don't know if it's because Lindor or whatever the case may be, but I think he plays good here. And I think Skubal's a top end arm anywhere. So.
I would actually, and thank you for the call, Chris. I would cut Baez, or like pay him money to go elsewhere. Maybe spin him in the trade. Point is, I don't even know if Baez is the best bad contract example. But the point is, if you wanted Skubal and you go to the Tigers and you're willing to be able to get them out from under a bad contract like the Baez one, then why wouldn't they at least be willing to talk and maybe give up Beatty and maybe a top 10 prospect? I'm not sure exactly what it would take, but you can't tell me that that wouldn't be appealing, and you can't tell me that Skubal wouldn't be a difference maker for the Mets, not only now, but moving forward. He'd be a huge difference maker. You don't know. The Mets need pitching anyway. You don't know if any of these prospects are going to pan out, and the Mets are going to have to go buy pitching next offseason. That's the move. Like, Snell sounds great, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. And Flaherty, fine. I mean, that's the guy that everybody's going to want. Walk year, maybe be more affordable, although even that price is going to be probably higher. Skubal's the move. That's the home run move. So much so that we don't even talk about it because it just seems unrealistic that the Mets would be willing to do that. That's a King Cohen-like move. Go get Skubal. Young pitcher, under control, top of the rotation guy. Get him. You'll replenish the farm. Don't worry about it. And you could do it without even having to, wipe the farm out. Take on a bad contract. Just like you did last year. Just like Cohen did last year. Paying guys to go away so he can essentially buy prospects. Well, what you'd be doing this year at the trade deadline is buying a young, controllable lefty because you're taking bad contracts out. Now, look, Detroit may want more than that. I don't know. I'm not in these conversations. But there's got to be a way to do it. Dennis is calling from Randolph, New Jersey. What's up, Dennis?
Hello, Sal. Great job. Great show.
Thank you, Denny. How are you?
I'm a lifelong Brave fan, and I got a lot of Mets fans in my posse. My brother-in-law's a Mets fan. After the first two games, one of them's a lawyer, so you can only imagine how obnoxious he is. but, Braves are gone. Braves are gone. See you later. Ta-ta, Braves. But the Braves came in, they're decimated by injuries. They got 40% of their starting lineup out, 40% of their pitching staff out. Lopez lasts three innings. The Mets go 22 straight, consecutive scoreless innings. If the Braves didn't bring a double-A pitcher in the ninth inning, the Mets' scoreless streak would still be going on. If I'm a Mets fan, I am not happy. You played the Braves JV team. You had a 2-0 lead. And, of course, I don't hear anything from my brother-in-laws after the Mets dropped the last two.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's plenty of games to go, Dennis. So the Mets won the first two. The Braves won the last two. Braves right now have a game-and-a-half lead on them, and thank you for the call. Braves right now have a game and a half lead on them, and really the Padres closing in as well. So you get the Mets, Braves, Padres, Diamondbacks. Everybody's right there. Cardinals, Pirates are even not too far back. Everybody's right there. But the Braves have been, look, as a Braves fan, we can't allow the taking bows as a Braves fan when the Phillies have an 8.5 game lead on them for the division. This season was never supposed to be about the Mets in the NL East. This season was about the Braves and the Phillies. And so far, the Phillies have been the hammer, the Braves have been the nail. Maybe not head-to-head directly, but as far as the season has played out. Now, the Phillies have struggled a little bit as of late as well. Braves have been going backwards, and look, they saved embarrassment. They didn't get swept, they didn't lose 3 out of 4 to the Mets. They didn't win the series, though. and they own just a game and a half lead over the Mets, a team who was supposed to be a non-factor this year. And now you're going to pound your chest because you salvaged the final two games of a four-game series? It doesn't work like that. Braves were held to higher expectations. I don't care what the reasons are. Braves have had a miserable season. And I still do think at the end of it, the Mets are going to surpass them in the wild card. But as long as they get a wild card spot, that's all that really matters. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Artie is in Rockland. What's up, Artie?
Hey, how are you, Sal? Thanks for taking my call. I nearly fell off my chair last night. I was watching the telecast. The first baseman was mic'd up of the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Ravitch was asking him about his mustache. He got a nice mustache.
Yeah, I saw. Would he have to shave it for the Yankees?
And then he says to him, would you go to the Yankees if they made you shave your mustache? Would you be? And the guy, he was sheepishly answered, I think the Yankees allow mustaches. What kind of what planet is Carl Ravitch living on?
Yeah.
Goose Gossage, Thurman Munson, Ron Gidgey, they've all had mustaches.
Don Mattingly, yeah.
Never had a problem.
Okay, and that's the least of Carl Ravitch's issues. Look, I'm not
well,
trying to...
Well, there was another one. Yeah. There was another one. Then he said, well, we got Jazz Chisholm coming back, and we have an abundance of outfielders, and Giancarlo's coming back, who's primarily an outfielder. What year was Giancarlo last primarily an outfielder on the Yankees? He's not going to see the outfield ever, especially with his hamstring. What's wrong with Carl Ravitch?
He's not very good. And thanks for the call, Artie. Appreciate you checking in. I'm not trying to pick on Carl Ravitch. I grew up watching him. Ravi! But I don't like him as a play-by-play guy. And two games in this particular week of him is more than enough. I like the other guys. I think Perez and Coney are great. Ravitch as a play-by-play guy just doesn't do it for me at all on any level. And to have to watch him for the Subway Series. And look, a lot of these national broadcasters, they don't know the teams the way that we know them anyway. So it's almost unfair. And Ravitch didn't even know where he was going next weekend. He's doing the promo for the game. He's like, oh, coming up next week on Sunday Night Baseball, we go to St. Louis. Oh, no, wait, we're going to Chicago for the Cubs and Cardinals. So, I got my job to do. He's got his to do. So I'm not going to try to pick on him here. But I will agree with you that two games of Carl Ravitch in this week was too many. You know, we had to watch them with the Subway Series and then again with the Yankees and Red Sox last night on Sunday Night Baseball. I have not looked at the schedule as far as when the Mets or Yankees play again on Sunday Night Baseball, but we much prefer the local broadcast, specifically for the Mets. Like, it's just such a drop-off from going to the SNY broadcast to the national broadcast. And that was an odd one. I'm right there with you. He said some odd things that make you know he doesn't really know what's going on, but... Where'd he pull that one from? Oh, yeah, if you ever got traded to the Yankees, how would that work with your facial hair? He's like, no, I'm good, bro. I got a mustache. They're oh, yeah. I mean, look, it happens. We all make mistakes. Problem is, you know, you should be held to a higher standard when you're the play-by-play guy on Sunday Night Baseball. And it wasn't the only mistake, to your point. Joe is in Clark, New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Big Sal. What's up, buddy?
How are you, Joe?
I'm hanging in there, bro. You know, I agree. Look, so many years the Mets have held on to guys, the Lastings, Millers of the world, the Alex Ochoas, you know, the Fernando Martinez, Generation K.
Mm.
You know, you don't know when you're going to be in a position like they are now. They're in a very good position. It's a very watered-down National League. They could definitely make a run at this if they get in like last year with Arizona. You know, you hold on to a guy like, you know, Clifford, or you hold on to a Cunha Jr. You don't know what they're like. Prospects are suspects, man. We don't know what they're going to be. I'd rather go for it now, man, while you have a very good lineup, one of the best in the National League when they're healthy, right? I mean, you add a couple of pitchers here, you know, and hopefully Diaz figures it out, you know, and then you add another bullpen arm. I mean, you could do this without breaking the bank or without giving up your whole farm. You just got to be creative, man. I mean, why not go for it? Right? I mean, like I said, Arizona did it last year. Why can't that be us, man?
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed, Joe, 1,000%. Whatever we think, you or me, it doesn't really matter what they're going to be moving forward. What they are right now is a team that is in the wild card spot, that is five games over 500, and a team that is in desperate need of bullpen help and a top-end starter. Those are the facts. Now it's up to the Mets to deliver on putting this team together and taking their shot. They may lose. They may fall flat on their face. They may not make the postseason. No one knows what the results are going to be. However, not going for it when the team has proven to be this good and get to this point, that to me would be unacceptable.
Absolutely. And there's pitchers out there that we can get. Even a guy like Jameson Taillon, who's pitched in New York. You know, give me something. I can't live with McGill and I can't live with Peterson. These guys are this every time they pitch, it's 4 or 5 innings, 4 walks, 7 strikeouts, 4 runs. I mean, you know,
McGill's got to go. Enough of Tylor McGill. I'm over him, Joe, and thank you for the call. Peterson at least has been good this year for the most part. Of course, he lays an egg yesterday, but Peterson hasn't been the problem. And by the way, the Mets lost these two games because of the offense, not because of the starting pitching, although the starting pitching was not good enough with Tylor McGill and David Peterson. And I'm just tired of talking about both those guys, specifically, though, Tylor McGill. He should not be in the rotation. He's barely a major leaguer. If they're going to try him out of the bullpen because his power stuff could play, let him go all air it out for an inning, okay, maybe I'd be up for that. But Tylor McGill should not be a starter. Mets got hurt here because Christian Scott got hurt. Scott had the potential to be a difference-making arm. Oh, their plans got blown to smithereens when Scott goes down and then Kodai Senga comes back and he gets hurt right away. They had the idea of going to a 6-man rotation with Scott and Senga coming back. And now they don't have either of those two guys. They needed a starter before the Senga injury, in my mind. They desperately need one now. Brad is calling from Alpine, New Jersey. What's up, Brad?
Hey, Sal. Thanks a lot for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for making it. What's up, Brad?
So I guess it's analogous to 2015, right, where they had a historically great pitching staff and just a horrible lineup. And they went out and they did the right thing at the deadline. Now it's the inverse where, you know, this is, I think it's the best offense that they've had. Why they got to go big here, but and like you said, they don't have anyone tied up long term on the pitching staff after this year except for Senga. I guess you have one more year of Manaea, but what about a reunion with Jacob DeGrom? You think that somebody called on Friday saying bring back Scherzer because we're paying a lot of his salary? What about DeGrom? I mean, Texas is probably regretting that contract, and you know, all given the size of what's due to him, you probably wouldn't have to give up that much and bring back David Robertson in the process.
You know, I love the idea of that in theory, Brad, and thank you for the call. Hoff, where are we at with DeGrom? Is he coming back? I read a while ago that he was working his way back. Has he pitched yet, DeGrom? I don't think so.
Not right? yet. I mean, okay. He hasn't pitched. I think he's pitching a live batter soon, but he's still nowhere near actually playing in a game.
Okay, here's why I like the thought, Brad, because it would be a money thing, right? Texas, you're right. They probably figured they made a mistake in that contract. The Mets need a top starter. They can maybe right a wrong in some people's mind. And I was okay with letting him leave DeGrom. And I still worry about, I mean, obviously the big issue is he can't stay healthy. However, we're talking about short term. I mean, I obviously next year as well. But you're talking about short term this year needing a top end guy. If DeGrom comes back and is healthy in September, what better arm are you getting than him? I still think Screwball's the number one move. I'd at least be open to your unique thought on a reunion with Jacob DeGrom. Now, I wish he were healthy now. Be a lot easier. But is that something I'd take a flyer on? Let's say the Mets say we'll pay half the money for DeGrom. You know, they were willing to go to a certain extent anyway when he was a free agent. Let's say that they go to the certain extent or maybe less than they would have, and they get Robertson back, and maybe they send Beatty there. Well, who the hell knows? I don't know what Texas needs, but I would be open to it. Screwball should be the first choice because he's the best available, and you want a young arm atop that rotation moving forward. But I would not be opposed to it. Put it this way. I said Snell, Screwball, or Flaherty or bust. If they got DeGrom, I'd be okay with that. Again, I don't think it's realistic. I think it's time to move on officially. But I would at least be open to that idea. I like the thought. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. More your calls. 1 more hour to go before Evan and Tiki coming up at 2-888-808-1019 on the Fan.